Okay, good evening, class. Welcome to our first session of Church Unusual. To give a little breakdown of this class, we're really going to talk about getting back to the original point of the church. You're going to learn some things as, you know, knowing that the church is not an institution, but it's an organism. It's a live organism, built of live organisms as you. You are the church. I won't go into all the definitions because we're going to break a lot down this semester. Be prepared for your whole connotation about what church is and what you've learned church to be totally changed, because it will change. There should not even be a class called Church Unusual, to be honest. And I say this every semester. We should not have to use the phrase or have a book named Church Unusual, because church is already unusual in itself, in the way that it was made, in the way that Jesus decided to be. But because of our normality or conforming to the system or being like everything around us and bringing everything outside in instead of coming from the inside to the out, we become rather watered down, rather normal, rather divided, and now the power is at an all-time low because of our normalcy. So class called Church Unusual. You begin to know that you are the church. You individually are the church. We'll define what the word church comes from, ecclesia, what it comes from. This will be more of an intro class, and we'll do a little reading. Matthew chapter 16 will be your main chapters, Matthew 16 and Ephesians 4. We'll go back and forth with those, and of course, a lot of different places. We'll be a lot in the gospel. If you know anything about me, I'm a red word guy. I'm a gospels guy. Not that anybody else isn't, but I'm digging in. And I am going to find my definition for anything that we study from Jesus. And so even in Matthew chapter 16, it talks about Jesus mentions the church and what the church really is. And really goes into detail about it. We're going to break this down. I know some of y'all think y'all have read this story before. You may be a biblical scholar, or you reverend, or whatever you think you are. But we're about to touch on some things that we haven't seen before. I'm expecting to learn things even as I'm teaching. And so this becomes the process. And so it's going to be that type of class. It's going to be a type of class that's going to have you at home scratching your head wondering, well, I thought. And you're going to start thinking some of the things that I'm saying is heresy and whatever. And that's okay. We're going to walk through it together. But in Matthew chapter 16, and it starts off, and I'm just going to read through it. I'm not going to be very, very long. This class is going to be extremely short. So I'm not going to be very, very long, but I'm going to read through it to give you, matter of fact, I'm going to read through Matthew 16, and we'll read through Ephesians 4 so that we get some ideas of where we're going. I tell you what, let's do this. First, let's go to Ephesians 4 first, then we'll come back to Matthew 16. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll give you a little time to turn there, but not a lot of time, because I'm about to just go ahead and start reading, because that's how I roll. But Ephesians chapter 4, and it begins to talk about, and this is where we get the 5-4, which is really 4-4 ministry gifts, but we'll talk about that too. Chapter 4, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, is Paul talking, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there's one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, and I want to slow that down, let me read that again. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill, you can read it, all things. That's the expectation. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The reason I say it's fourfold instead of five, because pastors and teachers are kind of in the same category, but we'll talk about that later. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It gives you the reason for this. Now, it's only until this, till means until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I mean, who's the Son of God? Not only Jesus, you know Jesus was Son of God, but you are a Son of God. So until you become to the knowledge of Jesus, which leads you to the knowledge of who you truly are, this is what we're doing. This is why we got to have a class called Church Unusual. This is why we have church all the time, because we're coming to the unity, and it's just, it's taking us a while to do that, unto the knowledge of the Son of God and a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, talking about Jesus, that we mature into being just like Jesus in how many things? All things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's Ephesians 4. We'll go back over to Matthew chapter 16. I think I said chapter 16. Now, to give some context, you were in my class. I think it's a second year class. So if you were in my class last year, I think Church Unusual is a second year class. I think so. Then you realize living by the book, we have to live by the book. You're familiar with what I was saying and how we have to have context. You have to know what's going on. So chapter 16, starting off at verse 5, and we'll read that they're on a ship, they're going to the other side. So it says, and when the disciples were coming to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread, right? And Jesus said to them, take heed that ye beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when you see the word leaven, we'll break that down some more. But when you see leaven, leaven was something that they put in the bread to make the bread rise, but it wasn't really a natural process of the bread. And he was saying some things that the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious people slip in that may take away from the original natural power of Christ. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. They thought Jesus was really talking about bread. They weren't catching what he was saying. Which Jesus then perceived, when Jesus perceived, he said, oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves that you have brought no bread? Right? And watch, he started talking. He said, do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many baskets you took up? A question. He said, neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000. How many baskets you took up? How is it that you not understand that I speak as you're not concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Question. He said, we broke bread. Why would you think, give me a crumb and I'll feed everybody. What are you talking about? Why would you think I'm talking about bread? Then understood they how he had made, how he bade them to beware of the, not of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now here's where we get down to the church part. Verse 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So now he's questioning them. And once again, I'm not going to go deep into it right now. We're going to really break this down and get down to the real nuances of his statement. We're not going to do it tonight. Verse 14, they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter jumped up, everybody, you know, giving these side answers. Peter jumped up and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. You think he got it, right? You're going to read a little bit. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed are thou, Simon and Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Here's what we're talking about the church right here, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. We can keep on reading, and I'll read for the end, for the sake of the chapter. And then once again, we're going to break this up down. From that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples now that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief of priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him, began to rebuke him, and said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit that he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul is a question. For the Son of Man is come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. We're going to really get down into this verse. We're going to do Ephesians 4 and this, and it'll probably take us the whole semester to really start breaking down what the originality of church really means. I'll give it to you. The ecclesia, it's a Greek word that church comes from. It really means called out ones by a name to carry a name. Now watch this. I'll go further. It says called out from an origin by name to carry a name. So now this is, the church is actually the individuals that partake in it. I'm even going to show you how to benefit more from actually going to the services of church or going to different revivals or meetings, because sometimes we come, listen to this, we come as something other than the church, and then we don't realize what we should be hearing when the word of God comes forth, because we're coming to receive something and we're not realizing that we're coming to understand who we really are and be able to take that back out into the world. So it's Church Unusual. This is the basic rundown of your class. And we'll be here next Wednesday doing this over again. We're going to break down a lot of things, and I pray that our hearts be changed and that we can leave. I don't need your religious philosophies here. I don't need you to think that you know what's already being said, because when you approach a new place with an old mindset, you'll never get to see what God is saying right now in that moment. And so this is Church Unusual, and I'll see you next class.